Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. The Reverend Dr. Steve Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Colossians, the third chapter. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
The basis for today's meditation is in Colossians 3, verses 5 and 6. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. It's the text. Put off the old self, put on the new self. A total change, a complete transformation. Unrecognizable you, because you are now in Christ Jesus. No activity, no cooperation, nor participation on our part. Sin is real. It is devastating and must be put to death. It must be put off. It must be put aside, and it must be put away, as the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3. A while ago, I was talking to a group of young soldiers. I was stationed in Heidelberg, Germany. I would conduct physical fitness training with these men and women. They were young, very healthy. While running, we would see the sights of the old castle on the hill. We'd observe the picturesque Main River. Sometimes we ran through the old city if it was early in the morning. We ran past where Luther delivered the Heidelberg Disputation. We ran by the old Romantic Bridge. We explored the area where Mark Twain once walked as he sought to understand German culture and German language. He later wrote about it in his journal series, A Tramp Abroad. But what was behind my ongoing engagements with these soldiers is that I wanted them to know me as their chaplain, as their pastor. And I wanted them to know them as their under-shepherd. Some of you may know this as what they call the rabbinic technique. It's a modeling for them. Well, a week or so after one of the physical fitness sessions, a soldier stopped by and wanted to talk to me. He had talked to every person in that battalion, 650 men and women, about the same issue. This is not a confidential thing. This is a point of argument he had. He had read in Colossians about putting to death sins listed in chapter 3. You remember, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Although the particular sin troubling him wasn't listed in Colossians, he felt it should be there. He needed help in putting this sin to death. And here's what this young soldier taught me about sin. He liked it. The sin was a part of his identity, so he thought. The sin gave him strength, so he thought. And it made him forget about the troubles of life. Even images of war trauma, they tended to fade for a bit. All the while, this sin was slowly dragging him down to the prison of isolation. And he also knew that unless he truly put it to death, it would lead to criminal behavior and possibly prison time. When talking about this sin, it was as if we were dialoguing about putting a beloved pet to sleep. In a troubling way, he prized this sin. It had been with him for years. This sin spoke to him, he thought. It was exhilarating to him, he thought. It was crushing him to death. This sin was killing him. He knew this sin needed to be put to death. This sin did so much, but it took so much more. When we sat down the first time, I mostly listened to what he had to say about this particular sin. Then something happens that occurs with us as creatures of fallen humanity. He wanted to negotiate with me. He wanted to control the sin. He wanted to qualify the sin. He wanted to rationalize the sin into a comfortable corner of his life. So at first I just listened, and I gave back to him what he said. But ultimately, you have to point them to the transformation on the cross given to us by Christ Jesus. This sin was too big. He could not kill this sin on his own. Perhaps you may have known someone in a position like this. It doesn't matter what the sin is that requires to be put to death, I suppose. We talked of perfection. He said, "Oh, I know the problem, Chaplain. I am weak," thinking that he does not belong to the world of fallen humanity as it began in the Garden of Eden. Oh, the terrible pietistic error. The flawed need to purge oneself of one's sinful nature. He was begging for a ritual that would cleanse him. What activity must I do to cleanse myself of this hunger? A sweat lodge ceremony, he thought. Fast to the point of hallucination. Is there a drug, a food, an herb, an incantation that would work what I need so desperately, he said. You see, we as Christians understand and know about the sinner-saint dichotomy. And so we prayed together, and he cried. I found a community of Christian men that would walk alongside of him. I still maintain a friendship with him. He thanked me and began his lifelong struggle as a child of God to leave this horrible sin at the foot of the cross at Golgotha. Now this for him is lifelong, because every day he clings to the cross of Jesus is another day freed from prison, from loss, and certain death. And eventually, he would close his eyes to this side of heaven, and he would awaken without this burden and see the face of Jesus. Sin is that serious. In Colossians 3, we see the presence of Jesus in this seriousness of sin. In the Sermon on the Mount, we hear the Lord declare, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." When redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, we indeed are changed. We are transformed. The old ways of this world are indeed put to death, even death itself. The power of the devil is extinguished, and sin has no hold on us. What's curious about this passage of Colossians 3, at least for modern ears, is the what I call the evocative idea that somehow we do the dying, we do the activity, or certainly spark it along. Kind of a hidden knowledge, a belief system that bifurcates the created world, and with discipline and intestinal fortitude, yes, that's it. That's how we persevere. No, it's the Lord Jesus. He does the dying. No, this is what the Apostle Paul was speaking out against. No, anytime you remove the grace of God, the unmerited and undeserved compassion of Christ, you are going down the wrong path. In a sermon on Deuteronomy chapter 4, Luther preached this. The world wants to win heaven from our Lord God by right. Although he is causing the message to be proclaimed aloud throughout the world, and he wants to give it to us for nothing. He says, I want to be your God. Out of grace, I want to give you heaven. Out of grace and for nothing, I want to save you. I will not let you win heaven from me. And for this we say, thank God. Paul closes out this text with a very important point. He makes clear that some things in life are not good for us, and these things have to die. Those deadly places are where we slip back into the realm of Satan. He makes clear that it is the Lord who conquers hell. There is no negotiation or peace you can have with sin. In the prayer Jesus taught us, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so restored, renewed, granted new life and a new creation, Paul's audience, those in Colossae, as well as us here in the modern era, hear another echo of Scripture, and this time from King David the Great in Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. These short verses in Colossians have an echo of the growth of the kingdom of God. If you think this is a self-help passage, you're only partially correct and mostly wrong. Paul points to Christ as a true hope that reaches down into solace and peace and consolation of the individual person looking for redemption. But there is one final point the apostle wants us passionately to understand and tie in the putting of death those earthly things. Growing his church. The new self removes in Christ, lifts barriers, multiple barriers, and makes us one with one another under his cross of redemption. Paul writes, here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave. Barricades of culture and society melt away. All that is left is freedom in Christ, who is all and in all. So as a child of God, we all have a mission. You may think you are wandering about life, seeing awesome things and going to wonderful places created by God and enjoying yourself immensely. But you are on a mission to demonstrate this wonderful love of God in Christ as it redeems the world. In so doing, we make disciples of all nations. Paul writes, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all and in all. As I reflect back to that young man in Heidelberg struggling with a particular sin, I'm reminded of another young man who came to this city, Martin Luther. He was in Heidelberg, and he echoes Colossians, at least two ideas from his 28 points in his disputation on Scripture. First, he says, the law says, do this, and it is never done. Grace says, believe this, and everything is already done. And the second, the love of God does not find, but the love of God creates that which is pleasing to it. The love of man comes into being through that which is pleasing to it. So we continue the work of our calling as those that reflect the light of Christ in the world. And we ask this in his holy and precious name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.